The song that we just sang, When the Saints, was written by Sarah Groves in 2007. And obviously, that song was influenced by the classic song, When the Saints Go Marching In, When the Saints Go Marching In. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. The idea is in that song, the original song, was that I see those saints and I want to be part of what they are part of. I want to be part of that number. I want to be part of that song that they're singing. I want to be part of what they are doing. But when Sarah Groves wrote it in 2007, she took this idea of, oh, when the saints that go before us, she's speaking of specific people. And as you were just singing it, it's speaking of specific people that have gone before us, specific saints, if you will, that have gone before us. And so as it was going along, we sang, I think of Paul and Silas in the prison yard. I hear their song of freedom rising to the stars. Paul and Silas, the story is told in the 16th chapter of Acts. They were imprisoned for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And their response to being put in chains was to sing praises to God. And then God did an incredible miracle in and through what happened in that prison. But then we continued to sing. And as we continue to sing, we say, I see the shepherd Moses in the Pharaoh's court. I hear his call for freedom for the people of the Lord. Obviously taken from the book of Exodus. And in response to the reality of the Hebrew people in slavery, God sent Moses back to Egypt and he told Pharaoh, let my people go. But then we got to that portion of the song where we're singing about all these different people. I see the long, quiet walk along the Underground Railroad. I see the slave awakening to the value of her soul. Harriet Tubman. She was born a slave, escaped slavery, but then went back into the South at least 13 different times. And during her 13 different trips back into slavery, where there was a huge price on her head, over 70 individuals were delivered out of slavery. So when we sang that part, we're talking about Harriet Tubman. I see the young missionary and the angry spear. I see his family returning with no trace of fear. Jim Elliot, who in the early 1950s went to the eastern part of Ecuador to an indigenous people group to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It was Jim Elliot who said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, in his case, he went to these people, shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them, and they killed him. They murdered him with a spear. But as we sang, I see his family returning with no trace of fear. That's his wife, Elizabeth. They had been married in Ecuador. She ended up returning to the exact same place where her husband had been killed. She returned. The song says, with no trace of fear. I'm sure she had fear, but she went anyway. She went with her family. She went to the very people that had murdered her husband and shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them. She remained with that group of people for upwards of 2 years. And those people ended up giving their lives over to Jesus Christ. I see the long, hard shadows of Calcutta nights. I see the sisters standing by the dying man's side. Speaking of Mother Teresa, who helped found the Missionaries of Charity. And at the time of her death, there were nearly 4,000 members that were part of that order. And at the time of her death, the Missionaries of Charity were serving in close to 600 communities in about 150 countries, serving as, and I was, having gone through in my family the reality of hospice care, I can't help but use the word angels to describe those people. And this, and the Missionaries of Charity were kind of hospice angels for countless people. and people with AIDS, leprosy, people that were on the lower rungs of society, and so who was going to stand by them as they were going through their last days? These people did. And you can't put a number on the number of people that were impacted by her ministry, but it'd be safe to say millions of people have been impacted by what have been done through that ministry. I see the young girl huddled on the brothel floor. I see the man with a passion come and kicking down that door. We talked about him last week a little bit. That's Gary Haugen. He is the founder of a group called International Justice Mission. It's a remarkable group of individuals. Just recently, the International Justice Mission was in India, and they saved 333 slaves in India. Since the International Justice Mission has started, over 21,000 slaves have been set free, and they've had over 800 convictions of people that were trafficking other humans. I see the man of sorrow and his long troubled road. I see the world on his shoulders and my easy load. That would be referring to Jesus. Taking from the language in that verse is coming out of the book of Isaiah, where the prophet Isaiah described the coming Messiah as a man of sorrows. And we remember that Jesus was the man of sorrows, and he took our heavy load, took our sin, so that we could be set free. And as we sing this song, there comes that point in the song, we go, and I want to be like one of them. Or if you go to the original version of when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. I want to be a part of what they are doing. Sarah Groves, when she wrote her song, she was using, oh, when the saints go marching in, but she was also referring to the 12th and 11th chapters of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, as you know, was written to a group of Jewish Christians. And at the time, historically, this group of Jewish Christians is enduring such persecution, and they are suffering so much that they're ready to give up. They go, this is not worth it. This is too hard. I can't keep going. And the writer of Hebrews writes to them and goes, no, you can do this. Keep going. Keep going. You can do this. And it is so very, very worth it. Keep going. And when you get to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it's often referred to kind of as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And you go through the 11th chapter and it lists person after person after person that had great faith in the midst of great struggles, and God did things in and through them. And then when you get to the end of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the writer says, hey, and there are many others. There are too many to even name that have suffered greatly for the good news of Jesus Christ. And then you get to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, therefore, since we are surrounded by the saints that have gone before us, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, suffered its shame, but now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Consider him who endured so much so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Consider all those that have gone before you, and then fix your eyes on Jesus and remember what he's done. He's done for you, what he's done for the saints that have gone before you, so that you can keep going. Oh Lord, I want to be part of that number. I want to be like one of them because of what your son Jesus has done for me and what I've seen you do in and through other people. I want to be part of what they're a part of because they are bringing good news to people in need of good news. And you might be thinking, oh, Mike, that sounds great, but I wouldn't even know where to start. The struggles in this world are so vast, so great, I don't even know where to begin. At which case I go, you know where to begin. I know this because a whole bunch of you were walking around this week with bricks in your hands. And some of you, if you weren't here last week, might be sitting here going, I have no idea what you are talking about when it comes to bricks. Well, we are in the last Sunday of our sermon series, Slavery and the God of the Bible. And last week, when people came in here, there were bricks at every seat. And the reason we used bricks is we are acknowledging that the majority of bricks in the world today, according to many studies, are made by the hands of slaves. And then what we did, instead of taking notes on our bulletin last week, we took notes on our brick. And we started out by saying, hey, on your brick, on one end, write the word tov. And that goes back to the very first week of the sermon series. We talked about how when God created the world, he said, it is good. The Hebrew word is tov, usually translated good, can just as easily be translated as beautiful or functional. And then we were able to say, but when sin came into our world, that which was good, beautiful, and functional became increasingly dysfunctional, ugly, and less than good. And the rest of the story of Scripture is God restoring Tov to his creation. And in the story of the Exodus that we looked at that first week, we were able to go, God is holy and intimate and goes to great lengths to restore and redeem his creation. Well, in the next week, we acknowledge that we are the enslaved people group, enslaved by sin. And remember, God goes to great lengths to restore and to redeem his creation. Well, he went to great lengths with his son, Jesus Christ, taking our sin upon him, conquering death so that we could be set free. And so then we said our response was to see, confess and celebrate. We confess our sin, and then we celebrate the fact that we have been set free. And as a result, we are not defined by our mortality and sinfulness, but we instead are defined by the fact that we have been forgiven and live forever. And then last week, we started talking about the reality of modern day slavery. There are more slaves in the world today than at any other point in human history. And as a follower of Jesus, what do we do about that? And so as we were working, some of you wrote definitions of justice, because we acknowledge that the word justice shows up over 200 times in the Old Testament. Some of you wrote down statistics on your brick. You know, that one says, you know, hey, annually $32 billion made on the backs of slaves, or over 27 million slaves in the world today. You know, those kind of things. But then came the challenge. The challenge was this. Take your brick with you. Take it to work. Take it to school. Take it out to lunch. And the rule was, if anyone asks about why you have a brick, the rule is you got to tell them. So, in a moment of accountability, how many of you this past week had at least one brick conversation? All right. Okay, now I'm going to go a little bit further. Those of you that had a brick conversation this past week, how many of you used the word tov? Tov came up. How many used the word CNC? All right, now here's where the sermon changes a bit. It goes from me doing the preaching to you doing the preaching. Those of you that had a brick conversation this week, because like we've talked about, the goal of church is not to show up on a Sunday morning, all agree with what we already agreed with coming in, and go home and have our lives be the same as they were before we came. The goal is for us to come together to be encouraged and challenged and go out and live differently. So, those of you that had a brick conversation this week, I'd love to hear from a couple of you. And no, I did not plant anybody here to be the first brick conversation. But if you had a brick conversation this week and would like to share a little bit about that conversation, shoot up a hand so I can get to you. And the first person is always hard. Oh, we got one, two, and three. We're going to go here because she's closest. Then we'll get over here. All right, you have to stand up, though. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, my goodness. You don't have to say yes, sir, to start. But get that right up to your chin, though. Tell us
up to my chin.
Your chin.
Is that good?
That'll work. All right.
Okay. Okay. Well, I shared this with Pastor Mike and Ruth last Tuesday night. And this is out of my comfort zone, so bear with me. So I wrote to Pastor Mike, this is a narrative of my brick story, which I shared with you and Ruth last Tuesday night. On Monday, February 16th, my dear friend Ann, sitting right here, and I met at a Slice of Goodness. a Tove pie place that we love to eat at. And so we do this every once in a while, lunch and a visit. So I brought my brick into the restaurant and set it on the table. The waitress was at our table several times, eyed it, but never asked about it. And a note is that this business is run by a dear Christian family. As we were visiting, two ladies sat down at the table diagonally across from ours. One was an older Caucasian lady. The other was a much younger African-American woman. They were obviously very good friends. After the ladies ate their pie, they were looking around the restaurant, and the younger one kept glancing at my brick. When the four of us were finished eating, I caught the ladies' attention and said, "You ladies are beautiful." The older lady asked, "Are you talking about me?" Her younger friend said, "Yes, she was speaking to us." The older was a bit feisty and said to me, "You seem very happy. Your husband must have left you with some money." I assume hers did not. I said, "Well, he has a little money, but he's not dead yet." We all had a good laugh about that one. We went on to talk about where we had been raised, etc. It came time to leave, and the four of us continued talking as we exited. The older asked our ages, and after telling her, she told us her age and was delighted to announce that she was 81 and the oldest of all four of us. She was inferring that when we get to her age, we'll see how happy we will be. With brick in hand, I told them about our slavery series at church this month. The young, and I know I kind of went against what you said, but they kept looking at the brick, Mike.
And that works.
They didn't ask,
that
but
counts.
They kept
that
looking.
Counts.
Yeah.
Asked with their eyes.
So the younger black lady and I talked about the different kinds of slavery, and she really understood the message. As a black woman, she was not at all offended and agreed that initially we were slaves to sin and how we believers are rescued by God. The older woman asked me which church I attended. After telling her, she proclaimed, "Oh, well, I'm a Catholic. We did everything first." I replied jokingly, "Oh, yes, you Catholics did everything first." The black woman did not tell us her faith, but I knew from our conversation that she was a believer. We finished our conversation in the parking lot, wished each other a blessed day, and thanked each other for this spontaneous and interesting meeting. Thanks be to God for my brick moment. None of this would have happened without him, Tove. Sincerely, Marcia.
Awesome. Sometimes we enter into these conversations and the purpose is just to encourage one another and to know that we're not going through this one alone. So we're going to come on over here. So who would like to go first? You'll go together.
We've shared in the experience.
All right. So make sure you guys are actually using a microphone here.
No.
Introduce yourselves to the rest of the church.
We're Lowell and Linda Graves. Many of you probably know us. We actually had opportunity to... Marcia, we don't have nearly as good a story as you do. But we actually have one of my number threes staying in our house. So the bricks are sitting on our counter. So after about... 3 days of them sitting there, he said, "Okay, so I just have to ask, what are the bricks about?" And so we were able to share with him that my brick was blank because I was in children's ministry, but Lowell's brick was covered with notes, and we went on to explain what those notes meant to him. He is not a Christian. He's going to be one of these days. God's got him by the scruff of his neck, but he doesn't realize it yet. So he asks questions constantly, repeatedly, daily. And this was his opportunity to ask questions for that day. And we explained about the slavery, about the bricks being made by slaves, and about how we're slaves to sin until we're forgiven of that sin by Christ's blood.
He asked about Tov. He asked about the CC. He asked about everything. He said, I'm afraid to touch the brick because I didn't know if it was okay. But he did look at what? Exposed sides. And like Linda said, he's going to be a Christian. He just doesn't know it yet. Pastor Mike met him the other night.
And in fact, at the end, he said, okay. And he walked away because he takes every morsel, every answer that he gets, and he ponders it. And if he has questions, he comes back again. He has a very odd faith system right now, but he is open and collects data every day.
Outstanding. Thank you, too, so very much. Anybody else have a brick story that you'd be willing to share? Because the fourth person's always hardest. Last night I was with family, a cousin and aunts and such. We're all eating together, and I didn't have my brick with me. But God being God decided this was going to be a brick story moment. And my uncle, yes, so how are things going at Community Covenant Church? And I said, they're going well. And he goes, what have you guys been doing? Oh. Door open, barging through. And I walked him all the way through the last 3 weeks that we've spent together. I talked about the movies that we've been watching and why we've been watching them. And as I'm talking to my uncle, my two cousins are both doing this. And they're just soaking up every word. We need to be a people that take advantage of every opportunity to share the story of God and share our story as well. We have a world in need of good news. And the reality is, you've got the news that's good. And you get to share it with people. Back in the mid-80s, there was a Christian recording artist by the name of Steve Camp. And in one of his songs, it opened up by saying, oh, we learned of Abraham who was ready to give his son, and Noah who kept on till his job was done. Moses led his children safely through the wilderness. These men are gone. We're here to carry on. So tell me, why are we in such a mess? Where are the heroes now, when we need them so desperately? Who will step out from the crowd and be strong enough to lead? Who will teach the children? Who will show them how? Well, I'm asking you, where are the heroes now? And if Steve Camp were sitting right here this morning, this is what I would tell Steve Camp in response to his question, where are the heroes now? I would say, turn around, Steve, and look at them. Because you are the heroes. You are the heroes. God has been using the people at Community Covenant Church from generation upon generation upon generation to be the people that take the good news of Jesus Christ in its entirety to a world in need. From generation upon generation upon generation at this church, God has used this church to bring good news to people in bondage. God has used the faithfulness, the actions, and the words of this church to reach people in bondage. Variety of different types of bondage, but has used the people of this church. And I have every confidence that God will continue to use the people of this church in word and deed to bring good news to people in bondage. I see it when I talk to you and some of you share brick stories with me. That we're willing to be completely uncomfortable this past week so that you can engage somebody in a meaningful conversation. I know that there are people in this church that are faithful prayer warriors, not just on behalf of us, but on behalf of the people that aren't currently here. I saw people kneeling before that flower to the side, praying for people that are currently in physical bondage. I've seen people against that wall that not only wrote names down of people they want to see come to know Jesus, but stood there and prayed over those names. I saw people along the back wall as they looked at the statistics about modern day slavery and praying with tears in their eyes. I saw people in this church kneeling on that side of the church, and we turned the entire wing of the church into a space for confession, kneeling before God, saying, God, this is what my life is looking like right now. And then upon being reminded that they have been forgiven, came out, came to the table, took communion, and celebrated the good news in their life. Where are the heroes now? Steve Camp, they're right here. And I consider it one of the great privileges of my life to be able to walk and run and kneel beside you as we bring good news to a world in need of good news. I'm going to invite the trio to come back up, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing When the Saints One Last Time. It's been our song theme for this series. But when it gets to the point in the chorus says, I want to be one of them, that is not the moment to sing quietly. That is not the moment to just kind of do. No, we proclaim, because of what Christ has done for us and encouraged by the saints that have gone before us, I want to be like one of them. And may we never be content with anything less. Would you please stand as we sing?